Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. While Florida averages about 5 unprovoked attacks a year from an alligator, 2017 has seen more than that, with 17 so far this year. 9 of those were instances when a person provoked or tried to feed an alligator, which is illegal and an all-around bad idea. Authorities say that hot weather, drought and deluge conditions, and more people around freshwater in the summer can be contributing factors to the uptick in gator incidents. Today, we'll get to talk with two people who've been in the gator business for a number of years and can help shed some light on gator behavior. Alan and Patty Register of Gatorama in Glades County in the studio with us today. Thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
It's great to be here.
We're talking about alligators with the people behind Gatorama. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So the Fish and Wildlife Commission estimates that there are 1.3 million alligators in Florida. Patty, how many alligators do you have at Gatorama?
About 2,000.
That's a pretty good percentage of that. I mean, it's more than I would think. That's a lot of gators.
Well, we go big there.
Alan, do you think that the FWC numbers sound pretty accurate from what you know?
I think it's actually low. It's very difficult to actually do good surveys. It depends on the weather. It depends on the what's in the lake, whether it's lily pads or whatever. It's very, very difficult to do those. I would think that there's more.
Do you think that the alligator population has grown or diminished in recent years?
I would think it's grown.
Even
with the hunts that take place, it continues to grow. The habitat's going to maintain a certain level, and we haven't reached that level yet.
Yeah, and the pythons haven't outnumbered them yet.
Not yet.
So tell me a little bit about Gatorama. What all do you do there?
Oh, what do we do? We have the most fantastic time there. We're one of 11 of the original 72 roadside attractions that were in Florida in the heyday of tourist attractions. So we think of ourselves as a little bit of a natural history museum, but we have more hands-on experiences to teach you and inform you and let you have fun with alligators and crocodiles than you can even imagine.
So, I mean, there just aren't that many of them left. I mean, so you kind of are a go-to place in that area, correct?
Well, we think so.
Yeah.
Well, certainly our area. And, you know, when she said we're one of 11, we're one of 11 roadside of tourist attractions, not alligator attractions that were established in the 50s and 60s. And but there's only 3 or 4 real alligator-specific attractions in the state.
Yeah, so there are roadside attractions that aren't really gator-centric, thus
right.
The name Gatorama.
Exactly.
Who thought of that name?
Oh, an old scallywag named Cecil Clemens.
I'm so excited to talk about him later in the show, but I really want to get to these bites. When you hear about all these alligator bites going on and, you know, gets in the headlines and it's in the news, what does that make you think?
My first reaction, I really probably couldn't say.
but
it, you know, it's unfortunate. Unfortunately, mostly it's the people's fault.
Human error.
Yeah,
most
human
of the time.
Error. And, I think, you know, alligators are people are intrigued by alligators. And so they want to see them closer and closer. So inevitably they'll start throwing food to them to get them a little bit closer so they can get a better photo, especially since everybody's got an iPhone or, you know, something that doesn't have a zoom so they can stay further away. But it's definitely human error. We run into problems like this generally this time of the year because it's not mating season now. We have mating and nesting and then hatching that takes place starting in April and will finish up in the middle of September.
So a lot of times people are trying to get a little bit closer to get that perfect picture, things like that. But what other things do people do that inadvertently might provoke an alligator, like crouching down next to a pond to do gardening? Are there activities that people do? Are we better off standing up tall?
You're certainly better off standing up tall. An alligator has a natural fear of people. They lose the fear, obviously, when people feed them. So if there's any splashing around in water, that's going to cause them to come closer. They're going to be curious, and they are opportunistic eaters. So whenever the opportunity arises, they're going to eat. They aren't really stalkers per se, but they will attack given the right circumstances.
They're kind of portrayed as stalkers, probably because you just can't hear them.
Right. They are very stealth-like.
And all you see those little eyeballs sticking up, and that's
it.
So if a gator lunges at you and misses, for example, if you're lucky and he misses, what do you do? Turn around and run?
Absolutely.
As fast as you can?
Yeah.
Straight line or zigzag?
Well, I've been chased by alligators and crocodiles, And I can tell you from firsthand experience, you don't think about zigzagging. You just create as much distance as you can between you and the alligator.
As fast as you can. Because there is an old wives' tale that says zigzagging is a good idea.
Right, because the alligators are long. They have the front legs and the hind legs, and they can't turn as easily as you would think.
But a group of FGCU engineer students came out a long time ago.
Oh, really? And they studied the zigzag pattern.
That's true. And it's going to take you longer and you'll cover less ground by going zigzag.
But do gators run really fast?
They are very fast.
For a short burst.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually had a rhombifer or a Cuban crocodile that's on our facility that jumped through a fence, through an open gate. It was about a 3-foot wall and chased me down the walkway probably 50 or 60 feet. Thankfully, I had a good head start.
You were younger.
Yeah, well, younger, thinner, and quicker. And he tired out after about 40 feet or so. But I kept running. I didn't turn around to see if he was going to gain his strength back.
You don't want to turn around and gauge that situation. No. You just keep running.
Right.
Keep running.
Right.
So if someone does get bitten and they find that their limb is – or their leg or their arm or something is in the mouth of an alligator, what do you do?
Well, if it's still there, you just try to
– If it's still attached to you.
Right. Exactly. And because I did have that happen several years ago.
Let me see your hand again. Oh, wow.
It was just a finger.
It was just a middle finger.
Yeah. And it was bit completely off, so I didn't have an opportunity to stay still or move.
Or get it back and put it on ice.
Right. Right. But what was the question?
The question is if they have a hold of you, say they've got you by the arm or something, what do you do?
Try to maintain the alligator. I mean, a lot of times you can't do anything because if it's a limb, they're going to start going into a death roll and they're just going to rip it off if they don't bite it off. Mm-hmm. And they certainly have the strength to bite that with that much strength. They're about 3,000 pounds per square inch of biting down force. So if you can maintain the alligator and hold him in place, that's your best bet.
And that's what we do on the farm. If
How
we have a human
place?
Error. Everybody just jumps on him.
It depends on
everybody, like a group effort to just jump on him so he can't do that roll?
It depends on the size of the animal. You know, our son was bitten on the end of a finger, actually by about a 5-foot alligator. He was untaping an alligator, made a slight mistake, and he continued to sit on the alligator with his finger in the alligator's mouth. And it took me about 11 minutes to get there. To finally get his finger out. But he did the right thing. He just maintained. He didn't try to pull out or anything because if you try to move, he's just going to bite down harder.
Oh, okay. So you just sit there as still as you can, try to keep it from going into a roll, and then wait for someone to try to pry that thing's mouth open?
But you had to do it fast. I mean, we used two big screwdrivers to put in there because as soon as he felt the screwdriver, he was going to bite down, but you had to keep it from biting so he wouldn't sever the finger.
How hard is it to get a gator's mouth open?
It's pretty easy, actually.
Really?
Well, it depends on if they're biting down or if he's getting ready to bite.
Yeah.
So, but it can be difficult. That part, if he's already biting down on something, it's very difficult.
I'm not saying that I'm going to go try to do it or anything.
Right.
But, you know, you see all the time in the nature videos and stuff that they have their mouths taped shut, that they have a hard time opening their mouth.
That's
they
correct.
Don't have the muscles to open. They just have all the muscles concentrated on biting down.
Yeah. Most adults have enough strength in their hands to hold their mouth shut and they can't open up.
Like but, I could hold an alligator's mouth shut with me.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to try to either. Just don't get
you
any.
You could come out and try.
I'm scared, man. I just, no way. So we have a lot of little bodies of water. I mean, we have about an alligator for every pond, it seems like. And is there a point at which people should call an alligator in as a nuisance? Because they're going to be around.
Well, I'm stuck here in this position now because I'm also a nuisance alligator trapper. However, today I'm here speaking from Gatorama's perspective, but I do have experience as an alligator trapper.
I mean, like I see an alligator in my neighborhood. I mean, there's a little pond and there's a little gator in there. He's relatively speaking little. I've been here long enough to consider a gator little, which is strange. Back in Kansas City, I wouldn't consider any alligator little. But I see it there. I mean, do I need to call him in? He's not doing anything wrong. He's just kind of floating there.
Let me take this question since you are a trapper.
Okay.
Conflict.
Yeah. It is.
I can only speak about certain things as a trapper. But as Gatorama, I can speak about anything I want to.
But when would you need to call one in?
I think we are too quick to call alligators in as nuisance gators. People are calling them in as kind of a preventative to they think save their pets, and I understand that. But alligators are key to our environment, and we need to have alligators in our environment, and we don't need to have them removed because a lot of people don't understand they're going to be killed. That is the program. They aren't going to be relocated.
Oh, really? They're not relocated?
They're going to be killed because if they're a nuisance alligator on Sanibel and they're moved to Okeechobee, they're still going to, they still don't have that fear of humans any longer.
Okay.
So they're always a nuisance. Once a nuisance, always a nuisance.
So nuisance means they like to hang out around people too much.
They become public, right, a public safety issue.
Okay. And generally what happens this time of the year when, especially since we've had all these attacks, when people see alligators, there's an uptick in calls.
Calls to SNAP, which is what
people
need to call.
Statewide Nuisance Alligator Program. That's who they would call, right?
1-800-SNAP.
1-800-SNAP.
That's not the number.
So the program's called SNAP. It's Statewide Nuisance Alligator Program.
Right.
Well, that's a very convenient acronym.
Yeah, it is.
That's really
pretty
that
clever.
Couldn't be...
Even for a state agency, that's very clever.
What marketing on a state agency's part? So when people do call in to SNAP and then the alligator is taken, they're always put down. They're taken...
They're not always put down. The program is that they will be put down.
Oh.
So when the caller calls in, they're told that the alligator will be put down. Trappers do have the opportunity or the opportunity to either sell, donate to either farms or attractions.
Okay. Like we take them. We don't kill the ones that we trap. We want new breeding stock.
Uh-huh.
So we release them into our breeding area.
I just think this is so intriguing. So we're talking to Alan and Patty Register with Gatorama in Glades County. Do you have a question or a comment about alligators? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now, as we mentioned before, Gatorama's been around since 1957 when a colorful character, to say the very least, Cecil Clemens, founded the place. Tell me a little about this character, Patty.
Well, Cecil was this old barefoot scallywag. He used to sit in a recliner in the gift shop and welcome people in. And that was pretty much the heyday of road travel on US 27. And my father grew up next to him in Lakeport, and my dad retired from the Army. And Cecil was having difficulties with all the regulations that were coming into place.
He kind of sounds, from the way you describe him, we've used the word scallywag now twice. He doesn't sound like he's a guy who likes rules and regulations.
Not at all.
Not at all. In fact, he would, if you gave him a rule, he was going to break it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was about the same time that alligators came off the endangered species list and Florida put in a farming program. And so my dad wanted to get in on the ground floor of alligator farming. But Cecil was a longtime neighbor in Glades County with my dad. My dad, Alan's a fifth-generation Floridian.
That's very rare.
Very rare. Yeah,
you don't have a lot of that. So gator farming, what are you farming them for? Skin, meat?
We farm for the meat and the hides. And there's also novelty items, you know, with heads and feet, you know, back scratchers.
Back scratchers
and,
with an alligator paw.
We farm for the skin
but primarily
and the meat.
Primarily for the meat and the hides. Yeah.
Meat and the hides. So what are the hides used for? I mean, boots?
Everything. Belts, anything you'd use cowhide for, you use the alligator hide for. It's a pretty expensive item, you know, for the consumer. It's not so much for the alligator farmer, you know, we're the low man on the totem pole.
Do you ever wear alligator skin anything out there?
I have an alligator belt on right now and an alligator wallet.
Do the alligators sense that?
No.
No?
But
they're
I
not
try
offended?
To cover, when I talk to people at our at Gatorama about it, I try to cover their ears up if I'm holding the, not the people but the alligator's ears up when I talk about you know, their hides being used for different things.
I guess they would have to have ears, but you don't really see them much.
No. They're just little slits right behind their eyes.
Right behind their eyes. It's good to know.
But we think it's important to educate people.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
So many people don't realize that they aren't endangered any longer and that there is a management program for them.
Yeah, and then the fact that farming them for meat, farming helps keep a lot of animals around, you know, using them for meat and making it something that's commonplace. I mean, and do you have any tips for people that are interested in trying some gator meat? Is tail meat better than rib meat? How do you deal with it? And do you deal with it differently from other kinds of meat?
I personally like the rib meat better than the tail meat, and but I love it either way. I mean, the only time we really get to eat it is when we have guests over because Patty won't let me just go open up a bag and start cooking it up.
I need to sell that meat.
It's a business.
That's right.
But, you know, it fits well into any recipe that you would use, fish, chicken, or veal. It's one of the five super foods.
Yeah. And it's like the other white meat?
Yes. And very, very low in fat and cholesterol, high in protein.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I don't know if we have time, but do you know that 2 ounces, just 2 ounces of crocodilian meat is enough to sustain brain development in starving people across the world?
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, now back on flavor. Sorry, I'm sure it's great for you, but I was told to marinate. You always have to marinate the tail meat.
No.
Julie,
true or no?
No. That would be if it was a wild old alligator.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, but I would probably slap you.
Okay.
The farm-raised alligator is about 2 years old, anywhere from 4.5 to 5.5 feet long, fed a very specific constant diet. And so the meat is consistent throughout. With wild meat, you're talking about an alligator that could be 10 or 12 feet long, could be 15 or 20 years old, as well as eating everything from snakes and raccoons and birds and fish and everything else. So it's going to have an inconsistency of taste throughout the different parts of the meat or the body.
All right. And we have a call coming in from Roger in Naples. Roger, what would you like to ask?
I just want to know that if someone is caught in the grips of a fairly large gator and the gator seems to be winning the contest, that one option to maybe try is to gouge the eye out. Is there any validity to that?
That's a good question.
Well, I haven't, Roger, experienced that personally, but I think that is an excellent action to take. I've always thought about this because we have such large animals on our property, on our facility, that, you know, the thing that I would do is I would try to bear hug that alligator if I could get my arms or whatever it is around him and just spend with him. Otherwise, he's just going to rip off whatever he's got.
You hang on to him. Yeah. And I wonder if you would just make him mad if you poked his eyes. I would not be happy.
It would make him mad. And the other thing, you can actually drown. Even though an alligator can go underwater and stay underwater for 5, 6, 7 hours at a time, you can drown one in several minutes, because their blood flows when they're real excited like that and their blood's just flowing like crazy. It's like when they run. They can only run for a short distance and then they're tired. Same thing. If they're thrashing around, you can put them underwater and then they'll drown pretty quick.
Yeah, because they need to get more oxygen because they're using all the oxygen in their muscle movements.
Right.
We have another call from Ted in Fort Myers. Ted, what would you like to ask?
I missed the earlier. If you're swimming real close to an alligator, what did you earlier say? Should you swim very slowly away or should you thrash as fast as you can away from the alligator? What's the strategy?
Do not thrash. The thrashing is going to get the alligator's attention. The best thing to do is just slowly move away from the alligator.
Creep away and slide back into the
woods. Don't call attention to yourself.
Yeah.
Just try to act like you were just never there.
Right.
Before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about the Hatching Festival, Patty. This is coming up in August, and this is an opportunity. Now, where do you get tell me about it.
Well, August 19th this year is when our Hatching Festival starts, and it is a great opportunity. Poor Alan, it wears him out. But you have the opportunity to come to our farm and hold an egg in your hand and have it hatch out. And it really is such an exciting time because people finally get to connect life with an egg. And you know, when alligators hatch out, they don't have any teeth, so it's okay. Right now, crocodiles are hatching out, but they have teeth and they will hurt you from hatch day forward.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, from their first motion will be to bite you?
Right.
Do you have any imprinting where a baby alligator thinks somebody's their mom?
Not really.
We see that in cartoons all the time, so I just want to make sure it's not true.
Not really. We like to let people think so, but not really.
Yes, not really.
So what are they like when a little baby alligator hatches? How do they act? Do they just kind of sit there and they're just kind of getting their bearings?
They're fully functional. You can take
them. And I think they're all different too. They have different personalities. Some are really slow when they creep out of the egg and some are really fast and they just spurt out and
take off.
They're just like us. They're all different personalities. But
the neat thing about them is they can do everything as a baby, seconds out of the egg, as an adult alligator can.
Wow, that's just...
They can swim, they can talk, they can see, they can
you
hear.
You have to come be our guest
everything.
Today. Well, and it is the most amazing thing. It really is.
It sounds like it would be really fun. It would be great for kids to get to
it
experience.
Is.
But then I wanted to ask also, you have a lot of alligators there that have been there for a while. Do they ever become not wild? Do they ever kind of act normal? Do they obey commands ever?
Well, they certainly obey commands. They are very easily trained, but never, ever have an alligator as a pet.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah, but because, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of times on our boardwalk or our walkway, I can stand out there talking with guests and the alligators will start to come up because they recognize my voice as someone who fed them for years and years and years. And so they'll just slowly come up there.
So you're training them by food.
Right.
Right.
It's operant
right.
conditioning.
Yeah.
Well, but that's kind of what we're trying to get people in the public to not do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if people have an urge where they just have to feed an alligator, they can come to Gatorama and feed all they want.
Yeah, they can if they right. just really have to
yes.
get that close.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. So, and then I wanted to ask also about the American Crocodile Project. You have crocodiles there, but we don't have a whole lot in general, do we?
No, we don't have. There's less than 2,000 in the wild in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. And we have the only breeding colony of American crocodiles in the country. These were crocodiles that were imported to Gatorama in 1968. And they were actually dropped off in three places, at Gatorama, Gatorland up in Kissimmee, and Gator Jungle in Christmas. Those populations have died off primarily because of the cooler weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're even 100 miles difference in latitude has allowed these crocodiles to continue to live and thrive.
So they generally are from Sanibel South?
Yeah. I mean, they've
like
been
in the wild?
Right. They've been found in Fish Eating Creek. They actually found one in Tampa Bay 2006 or 2008.
But generally speaking,
generally
their range.
Speaking, yeah.
Their range is there. And yeah. then, but you have them there. Do they ever hang out with the alligators?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
They do?
They're right outside our back door.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
8 feet out of our back door, we have crocodiles
yeah?
just sitting there.
Do they
yeah.
behave pretty much the same way?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, except that their nesting ground is right outside of our back door. A little bit of mistake in building.
yeah.
But I don't know how much time we have left, but to be fair to your listeners, we must say that reservations for our hatching festivals on the weekends starts August 1st. So if they want to get a reservation.
Do they fill up?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
The weekends do. The weekdays.
Right.
But the weekends certainly fill up very fast. The weekdays not so much, but they're
– We thought this was going to be something that somebody did once and we'd never see them again. But people come back every year. This is our
14th
year and they bring somebody with them. And so we see these kids grow up.
We have a girl that was 3 years old when she did it the first time. She's been there ever since, and this past year she was 16.
Wow.
And I've taken pictures with her, I think, almost every year.
You couldn't get more Florida than that.
No.
No.
Right? Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank our guests, Alan and Patty Register from Gatorama. And if you would like to know more, you can check out our website at wgcunews.org. Just click on the Gulf Coast Live tab, and there are links there to Gatorama, their story on the website, and the Hatching Festival. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
In your head, but there's always some special case I will place to forget etiquette. For instance, never smile at a crocodile. No, you can't get friendly with a crocodile. Don't be taken by his window grin. He's imagining how well you fit within this. Never smile at a crocodile. Never tip your hat and stop to talk a while. Don't be rude, never mock. Throw a kiss, not a rock. Clear the aisle and never smile at Mr. Croc.